Rusty Quill presents.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to another episode of Cersei Confidential, and I'm very happy to have a special guest on again. This time I have Emma Sherjarko, who plays the voice of Plaistra. How's it going, Emma?
It's going very well. Thank you, Alex. And I'm very happy to be here, and I'm excited that Cersei's back.
Yes. Very happy to get working on that again. Yeah. Alrighty, let's get started. So how did you get started in voice acting?
Well, so I got started in voice acting. I've been an actor pretty much my whole life. Since I was a kid, I did theater. I was a theater major in college. But I started voice acting on a show that listeners might be familiar with, which is Wolf 359.
They gotta be.
I'm
always recommending it, so yeah.
if you haven't listened to it yet, I recommend it.
Just one of the foundational pillars of, you know, audio drama, that's all.
Oh, geez. I met Gabrielle in college, and we didn't know each other very well, but I guess he saw a bunch of the productions that I was in at Wesleyan, and then after he graduated, because he's a little bit younger than I am, he reached out to me and was like, I'm writing this audio drama. And I was like, what's an audio drama? because at that point I still was thinking that, you know, I wanted to be a stage actor or maybe a film actor, but voice acting and voiceover wasn't really on my radar. And so that was about, oh gosh, that was like close to 10 years ago now, I think it was 2014 that we started. So I've been doing it for a while now, and now it is most of what I do.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite type of performance you like to do?
I like all sorts. I mean, To be honest,
you could say no. Just say you love it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I had to pick, like, gun to my head,
like an ideal role or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I love Shakespeare. I'm a Shakespeare nerd. So, you know, I love performing Shakespeare on stage. I recently got to record for a Shakespeare audio drama. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, to maybe bring a little more Shakespeare into the audio world. So,
can you talk anything else about it, or is it all hush?
No, I mean, it's only because it's not hush hush. I just don't want to jinx it. Because
but yes,
keep your eyes peeled and your ears open for some Shakespeare podcasting.
Very cool. So do you generally just do speaking roles, or do you sing too in musicals?
I have sung in musicals. It's funny, I laugh because both my parents are classical musicians, and the musical gene kind of skipped me. I can sing. I don't consider myself a very good singer. So I have been in a few musicals, and I used to love like watching musical theater as a kid. Like I loved it. But I not a ton is the short answer to that. And not in audio really. Maybe a couple times I have sung in like an audio drama, just like a little bit or something.
But. Right. Cause it's like, I mean, there's a few shows that did musical episodes, Bright Sessions and stuff like that. Yeah. And then, and then there's, what is it? Hit the Bricks. Is it? That's all.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I am in Hit the Bricks, but they think
that's what I thought. I didn't want to just assume you were, but I was like,
no, but they, I am.
You didn't sing?
No, I didn't. They thankfully haven't asked me to sing for that. I'm trying to think. I mean, in the first season of Wolf, Minkowski does give her drunken rendition of Modern Major General.
Yes, that's right.
Gilbert and Sullivan. So that was really fun. I loved doing that because, you know, that was like, because obviously Minkowski loves musical theater. Yep. So totally. that was a tenet of her character. But other than stuff like that, like little moments here and there, not too much.
So that always felt a little bit like Gabriel really wanted to just put that in there because he would have loved to have done it.
Yes, absolutely. But I think Gabriel and I are similar that like we both love musical theater, but are not actively involved in it ourselves too much. Right. We're aficionados.
A lot of singing in the shower and stuff, but otherwise.
Exactly, exactly. Yes, I can sing in the shower like a professional.
What other mediums have you done voice acting and acting for, other than podcasting?
So I've done a lot, like for voice acting specifically, or
just in general, and everything.
Just in general.
Yes, yeah.
So as I mentioned, you know, I was raised in the theater, so I've done a bunch of theater, though not recently, not in a while. And COVID. I've done I've done a little bit of film. I want to do more film because I live in New Mexico and there's actually a lot of film going on here. So it's really something that I should get more involved in. But in terms of voice acting, I've done a whole lot. So podcasting, audio drama being probably the majority of it. Mm-hmm. But I've done games, like indie games. Right. And that's really like my dream. That would be my other like dream type of acting. Like, I love video games. And so to be a voice actor in one of the AAA games, that's dream. Yeah, that's a dream role for sure. And I've done some animation. I've done a bunch of audiobooks. I've done a little bit. Oh, I used to do some magazine narration, which was very interesting.
Is that for deaf people or just like...
Not necessarily. Yeah. I think that's part of the idea is making it more accessible. Different publications. I think it's becoming more common to have an audio companion, like an audio version.
And stuff. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, because you never know. Like, you know, if you're driving in the car, you know, that's a way to like read a magazine article. So yeah, I'm. I haven't done as much of that recently, but I was doing a bunch of it for a while, which was very interesting and very cool. Didn't pay great, but that's okay.
That's true for audio drama in general.
Yeah, exactly. We're always fighting.
Working on it.
We're always working on it. Exactly. But this was like, there's a difference between like an indie audio drama, and I was narrating I was narrating for pretty high end publications. It was not those publications that were paying me. It was an intermediary
right.
production
party
company.
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just continually had to like be like, this takes a lot of work. This takes a lot of work because narration takes a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's a sidebar.
Still interesting though. Interesting world.
Hopefully,
though,
I'm not going to get a cease and desist from.
Well, you didn't say any names.
Yeah, and I didn't sign an NDA.
Unless you want to.
No, that's okay. I don't need to put anybody on blast.
So, what are some of your favorite podcasts?
Okay. I'm going to try to keep it brief. Wouldn't overcook. Yeah, I know. Well, obviously, Cersei, the awesome podcast. Wooden Overcoats is probably my favorite fiction podcast.
Did they finish or are they doing their last season?
They finished.
So they closed the coffin on it.
Yes, they did. That's another one. If you haven't listened to Wooden Overcoats, listeners, please go listen right after this is done. It is so delightful.
Especially when you got the whole show all done and everything. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking earlier about Lauren Shippen and the Bright Sessions. I love everything Lauren does.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you done Bridgewater?
I haven't listened to the new season yet. I listened to the first season. But yes, I love Bridgewater.
Interesting because you know how I'm gonna do a little spoiler for it. So you know Nathan Fillion was the voice of the so I guess they couldn't get him back for season two.
And so
I saw
Alan
it was
Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk.
Yes,
and I'm like,
I saw
what?
That.
But I was like, yeah. Oh wait, but he's such a great voice actor. He can do so many impressions.
Exactly.
So he sounds really like him at first. I didn't catch it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I love that. I did see that because I saw that he was playing the role. It was like announced on Twitter and I was like, that's funny. I thought it was Nathan Fillion in the last one.
Fine with that, right?
Yeah, those two crazy kids. But yes, I'm really excited to listen to season two. Another one that I'm listening to right now, I'm almost done with, that I wanted to recommend is Eliza, which is from Ella Watts in the UK. It's really good. It's really good. I highly recommend it. It deals with some more serious issues. So like definitely pay attention to all the content warnings and all and all that. But it's got just tremendous actors in it. Arthur Darvill from Doctor Who is in it, and Dominique Tipper from The Expanse. So it's got an amazing cast. But that one I'm listening to right now is really, really good.
Doctor Who Redacted that she did too is really good.
Yes, exactly, which I haven't listened to yet because I'm really behind on Doctor Who content. but I'm catching up.
But it's like it's modernized and stuff, and it fits like it's current generation, and you don't really need to know much else. They kind of reference stuff and do it correctly. So it was really good too. Yeah, yeah, I did get to meet Ella at PodCon. A million years ago.
And that's fantastic. I just met her on Zoom for the first time recently.
She's
lovely.
Wonderful person. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. and then last but not least, I just wanted to give a shout out. I'm forgetting, you know, there's so many wonderful shows out there, but I love Jordan Cobb and Jordan Cobb shows.
Gosh, yeah. Anything she does. Yeah.
Yeah. She does. Yeah. She does audio horror like nobody else. And I love it. And I've gotten to be a part of
it. And it's like, and she tends to cast herself as the main role. And you're like, but she's like, but she kills it every time.
Oh,
she's
so
like intense
so
and everything. You're like, yeah.
So good. And she's given me the opportunity to play like, you know, the person like victim number three several times, which is like so fun. As an actor to play.
And Trevor, her most recent one, the underwater one, which Primordial Deep, that's it.
Yeah, Primordial Deep.
Maryland.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yes.
All right. So now the pressure's on. What do you think of the Cersei podcast?
oh man, it sucks. No, no,
I'll edit that out.
Yeah. I love this podcast, and we might get to this in a moment. But when I saw you post about it on Twitter, like years ago at this point, mm-hmm. I saw that and I was like, oh my God, this is so
oh, cool.
up my alley. And so I think I messaged you directly and I was like, if you have any roles available, I'd love to be a part mm-hmm. of it. So I love it. I love everything you've done with it, the whole aesthetic of it. It's like, you know, sorceresses in space. It's like what could be cooler than that? I love like the mythology you've built with the show as well.
Yeah, it was really fun to be like, because it was, you know, different from last year, instead of like going like true fantasy and be like, okay, I get the world build and make a magic system and all this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a lot of fun with it. Totally. And I feel like because I think a lot of you messaged me in the early days before I was even doing casting and stuff like that. So I don't know if I caught it or whatever. But then I do tend now when I hear certain shows or whatever, and certain voice actors or whatever, I put them in the back of my mind, and sometimes I'll even like write characters. Like the current season, I wrote a few characters with a particular voice actor in mind who I've actually managed to cast now for that.
Oh,
which
that's
is fun
amazing.
With all the podcasting where you have the voice you want, you kind of hear, and you're like, that would be great for this part. And so
I
like to think it worked out in your case too, because I probably had the same thing. Yeah. Level you hit.
Good. Yeah.
What do you like mm-hmm. most about performing the role of Clystra?
Ooh, great question. I like performing the role of Clystra. It's a nice different kind of role for me, and a mm-hmm. fun challenge, because you know she's kind of timeless but older.
Right.
And you know, I'm not as young as I used to be, but I'm not like very old. So finding a kind of mm-hmm. authentic, believable, but older feeling right. voice, kind of timeless.
I think I was going for kind of Galadriel. Like
exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That was, I think that was your reference, which is very, mm-hmm. which is very funny, because Galadriel is actually a reference in like a lot of audition breakdowns that I get now. And I'm like, well, and it's funny because everybody's kind of means something different when they say Galadriel.
Right.
So, but I think we were on the same page about like this kind of.
And deeper... I think you sent me at least three versions, three different kind of voices you were going for.
And
I was like, yep, it's that one right there. That's the one I want. Yeah.
Great. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. No, that was fun kind of going through the process of finding her voice. And it'll be fun to revisit that and bring it back in season two.
I was going to say, have you started any season two yet? Have you had any trouble coming back to the voice?
I've done a little bit of mm-hmm. trying to, I haven't started recording yet. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to familiarize myself with the scripts mm-hmm. first. Exactly. But I've been revisiting, you know, the old episodes and the recordings I sent you. I was like, okay, I think I can do that. I think I can.
Good.
Yeah.
Slip
I hope
back
so.
Into
we'll
that
see.
Role.
We'll see. Yeah.
They'll be like, who's this?
Yeah.
We don't want to, you know, a Nathan Fillion Alan Tudyk situation,
yeah.
right?
Exactly. I don't want to get recast by Alan Tudyk.
He could probably do it too, though.
I'm sure he would. He'd do a great job. He'd do a great Clystra.
Have you had any challenges with the role?
Yeah, I mean, I think again, it's been a little while, but I think along those lines, you know, just kind of as authentically as possible, embodying a character that is that kind of old and timeless. As you know, a mere mortal myself, you know, because you don't want it to sound like cartoony or like I think because Clystra is it's important to get that kind of intimacy from her,
mm-hmm,
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so just making sure that it feels grounded and authentic, mm-hmm. and doesn't veer off into the realm of cartoony is not the right word, but just more like caricature-y, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Caricature, yeah. Whatever,
yeah, because mm-hmm. I don't want her to be a caricature. So that's kind of striking that balance, I think, is.
And in some ways, it's almost challenge. Like a practically like a trope of the type of character she is.
Exactly. Too.
So yeah, you don't want to fall into that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Which Galadriel too is.
Exactly. But you yeah. know, so I'm striving to be as good as Cate Blanchett, who did not make that role a caricature at all.
Easy. No pressure.
Yeah. No pressure. Yeah. Yeah. I consider myself the Cate Blanchett of voice acting.
There you go. Okay. That on a t-shirt, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Maybe. No, I'm not. I'm definitely not that confident in my skills.
Okay. Let's get a little technical. What equipment and software do you use to record?
Oh, I use. Okay. So this is what I write in all my auditions. So I have a Sennheiser MKH-416 microphone, a Focusrite Scarlett interface, and I use Adobe Audition as my DAW or DAW. I just like Audition. It's like user-friendly enough that I feel like I can make stuff sound okay. And I started using it when I was making my own podcast, Pairing, which is not a fiction podcast. It was just a conversational podcast. And I needed to like actually know how to edit stuff a little bit. So, so that's when I started using Audition and I just kind of kept using it.
Okay, great. Do you have a routine or any techniques you use when recording?
That's a good question. I always try to, like, if I'm recording for something that I'm acting in, I try to make sure that I'm warmed up. You know, so I do somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes of vocal warm-ups. Depending on what I am recording, I might record standing up or sitting down. Some people like will only stand when they record. I'm one of the people who I actually believe that, you know, as long as you're not collapsing in on yourself, there's some roles that are better suited to be recorded sitting down. I don't know. It's just like a little energetic difference, but.
It's just an interesting world of voice acting because you're not actually seeing it ever. So the voice actor can do whatever they want, do however they want. You know, they make a joke, you know, you can record in the nude or whatever works for you to get it out.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't done that. I feel that I wouldn't feel right doing that. I think it would take me out of character.
Too distracting.
Yeah, exactly. But
How different is voice acting compared to other acting for you?
I mean, it's, I like to say, you know, voice acting is above all acting, because a lot of people get into voice acting who don't have a background in acting, which is fine. But a lot of people come into it, you know, thinking it's all just funny voices and. You know, stuff like that. And that's part of it. You know, the more versatile you can be with your voice and accents and stuff like that. Yes, that's important, but the fundamentals have to be there. I believe, especially in like fiction podcasting, like we work in, because it's all, a lot of it is, you know, really great character work. So, you know, that's not to say if you don't have a background in acting that you shouldn't dive into it. I just recommend, you know, seeking out training and classes to go along with your journey.
And plus a lot of those strange sounds and effects can be done afterwards in post with editing and stuff like that.
Sure.
But again, you need a good original take to work with, because if there's anything wrong with the original recording, you can't, there's no magic that will fix it.
Yes, exactly. I mean, there's obviously just, you know, physical differences. You know, I can record, as you said, like wearing whatever I want, while theater and film, your physicality and presence is more important or more prevalent. That's not to say that your physicality isn't important while recording. That's one thing that I think a lot of voice actors forget, is that like you can still use your body. You know, it's important to stay
completely
active.
Because words come out certain ways depending on how your body is, as you would in a conversation with
someone.
Yeah.
It's all one instrument. It's all one instrument.
It's all connected.
Absolutely.
All right. Final question. Where do you think the story will go in future seasons of Cersei?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, where would you like it to go?
Oh, man. Well, I think Clystra would like to retire to the tropics. And I don't know. To be perfectly honest, I need to like revisit everything that happened in season one and also, you know, make sure I'm solid on season two. But that all being said, I'm just excited to see where it goes. I think it's a really great idea, the format, the characters. I'm excited that we're getting more characters in the second season as well, to see Thyra interacting with other people and Clystra. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see where.
Did you read the first script yet?
I read like the pro, or was it the prologue?
The prologue. Yeah.
Yes. I have.
Where
read
you're
that
you're
one.
You're with a student. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So I was very excited that I get to interact with another character because I think in the first season I was only interacting with her. So
yeah.
So that's fun to get to see something new.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Emma, so much for doing this great interview.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Alex.
And we'll look at doing something again in future seasons, I'm sure.
Great. Yeah. I look forward to it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.